right, Dana? Yeah, okay. Well, good morning. I'm so glad you're here this morning. It's good to see you all spread out all over the place. Yeah, you know, when the missionaries are doing that video for us, do you know how difficult that is to look into space and play like you're talking to somebody? During the first part of COVID, we did streaming of our services, and I had this little black box that sat in front of me, and it was scary. You know, I was really frightened of that for a while. No, I got to know that, and so I just wanted to tell you that next week for the bonfire and the s'mores, if it's too cold, we'll just move the fire inside. We'll have it in the living room. You know, so don't worry about the cold. No, what I would like you to do, if you're going to bring someone, and I really invite a neighbor. Hey, we're going to have a bonfire. We're going to do some s'mores. Maybe it'd be some hot chocolate. Would you come with me? But if you do that, would you call me or Sandy so that we can buy more crackers and marshmallows? And Sandy's already started to buy those. We got some wood delivered the other day, a little bit. If you have any more at your house, an old chair, something, bring it along. You know, we can do that. We're looking for a great time. Might entice somebody to bring their guitar. We can sing Kumbaya or something, you know. Kumbaya. Michael rowed the boat ashore. Remember the 60s? We used to do those things? Well, this morning, I was going to bypass this part of Titus. I thought, well, I've said a little bit about it. But as I began praying, the Lord said, you know what? You need to talk about that. It's there for a good reason. You said a little bit, but get into it a little deeper. So I'm going to do that this morning. And I want to start by reminding you, some of you will remember this, that in the back years ago, back in maybe the 60s, 70s, our churches were inundated with this new gospel. And this man came in and he's told us how we could win people to the Lord, and you know, and the churches all bought into it. You know why they did? Because it was based on the Word of God. The man's name was Bill Bright. And we had a time of salvation coming to people and churches being taught how to give the scripture, how to win people to Jesus. During the same time, another man came into churches and told them, Jesus is going to come on December 22nd. Sell everything you have. Move. And guess what? People did it. You know, it wasn't based on the scripture, because the scripture was just the opposite. And those that knew the scripture said, you know what? Jesus said, nobody knows the day, the hour, except the Father. And so this morning, we are going to look at a passage of scripture where Paul is telling Titus, watch out. Watch out. He said, I'm sending you back there. And there's some things, you know, two people were going to hire me, and maybe nobody would, they'd say, how old are you? And one of those people said, you know what? I got this chocolate company, and I need a taster. I need somebody to sit at the end of the line and taste my chocolate for me. It pays $100 an hour, and I want. And then another guy said, well, I would like you to come and work for me, because I need somebody to scoop the manure out from behind my cows in my dairy farm. It pays $1.50. Well, guess what? I'm taking the job at the chocolate factory, folks. I'm going to do that. You know, sometimes scripture that we like, we just dwell on it and say, oh, God was so good. Look what he gave us. And he was. Other times we look at scripture and say, well, that is really good. Let's go on to Philemon. I really like that. And so this morning, what we have and what we might hear might be something you say, well, I don't know if I can. You know what? You can't. I don't know if I will. You can't and you won't unless God, you allow God to lead you, let the Spirit lead you. So, to say all of that, just to say, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer, and then just look at these six verses that Joe read for us, and see the importance of them today as they were over 2,000 years ago. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you that you love us. We thank you that you care so much about us. and that you, Father, have shown us that there are things that we need to do, Lord. Maybe we'll call it house cleaning, and those things that we need to do to make sure that the house of God is pure, that your word is being pronounced as it should be, that there are not those within the house of God and within the body of Christ that are just causing disruption. So help us to see that this morning. Help us to make those things, let the Spirit work in our lives and teach us. And we thank you for these things in Christ's wonderful name. Amen. Those of you, I think everyone, I was going to say this earlier, everyone probably knows Flora's mother passed away. There'll be a private service family next Friday. And so be praying for the family, you know, that this will be a time of as they get together, the ones that can, that will be that go smoothly and those things. I'll be meeting with the family Tuesday. We'll be talking about that in a little bit, but remember that. Titus, the book, boy, now I'm going to turn it on. Ta-da! See, I'm learning. Okay, Jill read these words to us. You know, Paul says this, and I'm just going to go over the first part of the first verse, and there are a couple things that we need to know. And he says, for there are many who are insubordinate, empty talkers, and deceivers. Now, you would think in any church there might be one or two. You know, there might be a person that comes in and says, well, the Word of God says, and they go off into some area that's just not even, we would look at the Word of God as, that's not true, that's not there. Paul is telling Titus, you know what, there's many. There's many. And so what we're going to see here, what I want us to see, isn't that cute, that, remember when you first, when you first touched your wife's hand, first time? Oh, and those ladies, when that guy just reached, I was in a 1964 Valiant Plymouth with 3-speed on the column, whatever it was, and plain Jane plastic seats. Sandy was over against the door as far as she could get. I don't know, that was one, and I reached my hand over. We're going to a Youth for Christ rally, first date. And on the way home or on the way there, I don't remember. It was just so cool. I touched her hand. Ah! I said, will you marry me? No, I didn't say that. But, you know, this holding of hand, that is really significant. We don't hold hands with those we don't know. We don't hold hands with those that we're not, have things in common with. We don't hold hands with just, you know, we don't walk down the road and walking. We're in Gatlinburg, and there were 8,000 million people there, at least. Well, something like that. You know, and Sandy and I didn't just walk up to people and grab their hands. Oh, would you walk with me? Let's walk together. This picture is meant to show you the importance of walking together as individuals as we walk with God. And Paul is telling Titus, hey, as you read this and as you know this, this is so that you will better be able to be one in Christ. And that you will be able to, as a church, walk together. So, and do your beliefs and your behaviors go hand in hand? It would be hard for us to have a joint service tomorrow, or today's Sunday, right? With certain churches. And they say, well, two pastors would be up here and I would share something. There are some that we wouldn't do that with. Because in the scripture, we don't walk hands in hand. And so as we go through this, we'll be going back and mentioning some of these things that bring us together. But Paul says there are many of these men. And so I want us to say, wow, if Paul's telling Titus that way back then, today, anybody trying to get in our churches, anybody trying to have us believe things that aren't true, anybody having us to believe things that are, half true. Oh, my. Half-truths. They're the killers, aren't they? As I was looking around and thinking of some examples to give, multitudes, they just fall. You know, I think back when I was a young person and some of the things that would come into the church, and we had that wise pastor, Ted Phillips, and he would say, no, that's not coming into our church. It's against the Word of God. And I would say, wow. And I would look it up myself and say, man, he's right. He's right. It shouldn't. And as I went to Bible school, and Larry and I were talking about Moody a little bit the other day, and some of the standards at Moody, and signing the thing that we signed to do certain things, but anyway, sometimes things come in, and we're seeing some things happen at Moody now that we're looking at and praying about that perhaps had come in, but now are being cleaned out. And so, as you think of today, think of the last time every day. Sandy and I were ministering in Southwest Michigan. Michigan people always put their hand up like this. Well, you know where we were. We were right here, almost to Chicago. We were right here. And one of the churches near our churches had a wedding. The pastor got married. And it was so cool. The newspaper was there. The couple was on the front of the church, the beautiful little United Methodist Church. And they're both men. And the church accepted it because they loved each other and because God is love. And they left out some other scripture. And that's being pushed, you know, that agenda and other agendas. You know what? I think you probably heard what the Bible is really a cool book, but don't take it all like it's true. A lot of us just stories. Some of you have probably, though most of you have had your children homeschooled or in Christian schools, you haven't had to deal with this, but I've had parents that came to me and said, my daughter came home, she's been in Sunday school all of her life. She came home today and said the story in Genesis isn't true about creation. She believes her teacher. I said, you sent her to school? I didn't. No, I didn't say that. I wouldn't say that. You know, and that's coming into the church, and there are some of those folks that are supposed to be those theologians and those ones that show us the Word of God and divide it up for us and help us understand it, who are saying, you know what? Those days could have been millenniums. I heard that the other day from a pastor on the radio, and I said, what? I said, how much Hebrew do you know? The word num in the Old Testament, the Hebrew word means 24-hour day. The one that's used by Moses as he wrote, as he was inspired by the Word of God. So let's not, as we look at Titus, say, wow, that church in Crete really had it bad, didn't they? We are in the same boat. And we, as I look around, have been true to the Word of God. And those things have not entered into First Baptist Church. And because we are those that are seeking to please God, they won't as long as we have this as our base. Well, let's go on. That was almost my conclusion of the sermon. Look at it. Now I've got a clock up. I never knew I had that clock up here till last week. Isn't that weird? And I've got way too many minutes. Let's go on. All right. I don't have to look there. I know what it is. Here we go. Verse 10. These are the three things that Paul is telling Titus to watch out for. You gotta watch out for these. He says, first of all, he said, you have these people that are rebellious. And remember, Paul had been to Crete. And he knows these people. He knows who they are. He knows what they do and how they act. And therefore, he knows that this means those who won't be subject to authority of Christ. They won't take that submission role. I'm going to be a servant of Jesus Christ. Remember John the Baptist, and when Jesus was coming, he said, man, look at him. He's coming. I can't even tie his sandals. You know, I am on the bottom of the ground, and he is up there, and I want to what? Become less so that he can become greater. The people and the men in Crete that were coming into the church were teaching another gospel about being, you know, not having to be submissive. And so Paul is saying to these guys, he said, these men, they don't like to be told what to do. They don't want to live their life. They want to live their life just how they want to do it. And that comes in small ways, doesn't it? I mean, some of you that I know have had what we call teenagers. And that is an era of life which is devastating to parents in a lot of cases. You know, because those teenagers don't want to be in submission to anybody. Why? Because they're too cool. I had the coolest kid in the world, my third child, my second son. And, you know, he just knew he was cool. And the problem was, for me, he was. You know, National Honor Society, All-State, or All-Star football player, you know, blah, 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 dating the cutest little girl in school, you know, and I had a hard time. As a matter of fact, I didn't have him in where I should have had him as a father, because he wouldn't be subordinate to anybody. And he took him a long time. Well, he still has a hard time with that, doesn't he? That's still our prayer for our son, Brian. But, you know, these men had come into the church with that attitude, that haughtiness. You know, and we see that some days, times in people and pastors and those people that come. I don't care about anybody that's haughty outside the church. That makes no difference to me. Makes no difference to my ministry unless they're somehow affecting my ministry. So if somebody said, that person is really haughty, well, good for him. Larry and I were talking about a haughty person yesterday, and I said, we used to have a saying, if he can do it, it ain't bragging. You know, I had Sandy had a bunch of cousins, and one of them married this guy that was really braggadocious. And before I'd ever got out on the golf course with him, well, he said, I can drive that ball probably farther than anybody. I probably will shoot about a 4 under par. And, oh, man, what kind of guy? I don't want to golf with him. Went out with him. He could shoot the ball farther than any of us, and he shot a 68. You know, wow, if he can do it, it ain't bragging. But anyway, Paul's not talking about those folks. He's talking about those that are coming into the church and say, follow me because. And we've seen and we've heard those. I watched him on TV. You know, I watched a man on TV do this one time. I have my little, what is this? Oh yeah, okay, my little cheap watch. He went like this to the camera and he had a watch that weighed 84 pounds and it was all gold and sparkly with diamonds. And he said, I've got this because I'm great. And I know that God loves me. Well, God loves you, but maybe you're not great. I turned the TV off. I didn't hear what else he had to say. But those folks come into the church or follow me because I know more than, you know, I've been in those churches where there's been a wonderful board. Oh, a great board. And I've had the opportunity to work with them or talk with them as a music guy or a pastor. And there'll be someone that comes in and says, well, you know what? That board doesn't know much. They should ask me how to do that. They should ask me about that. And Paul is saying, watch out. And the first people he mentions are those that are rebellious, will not come into submission. Those are the ones that, you know, are maybe a little bit more noticeable than some of the others, you know, when they come in. The second one, empty talkers. And some preachers, you think, well, they're pretty empty. He went on for an hour and a half, and that's all he said? That's not what it's talking about here. This is talking about those people that will get you into a conversation to get you away from the Word of God, and it has no conclusion whatsoever that is beneficial to us. What would that be? Hey, you want to go ahead? And I say this a lot, okay? I go to coffee, and I do empty talking because it's okay. There are times when we can go and just talk about anything. You know, we could go and talk about, I forgot. I really did. I'm really, really sorry. I forgot I was supposed to be an Illinois fan Friday night when I watched the Wisconsin-Illinois game. And I started cheering for this quarterback from Wisconsin, freshman, 20 out of 21 passes, 5 touchdown passes. And Sandy said, oh, aren't we from Illinois now? Oh, I forgot, you know. But I can go to a coffee shop and have empty conversation. And there are times at the church when we can talk about things that are nonsensical, but our main reason for coming and talking and fellowshipping is to grow. And we can't grow if we just do empty talking. Well, Susie had the cutest baby, didn't she? Isn't she cute? She's got 2 eyes and a mouth. Oh, she's a doll. You know, that's okay unless we dwell on that and we forget, oh, Bible study's over. We spent the hour talking about these things. Well, these people were coming into the church and filling it with nonsensical, empty talk. No praising the Lord, no developing, no growth. water's good. Remember when you didn't pay for water? You know. And so Paul says, watch out for them. He goes on, he says a little bit, he says, I guess one of the other things I should have said, empty talking has no goal. Empty talking has, I mean, when we come together, we have, when the board meets, and Larry's got a huge gavel, I mean, because he's the chairman. Wham. When he slams that down, no, he doesn't have one, we begin to talk, working toward a goal. Empty talkers would, and I've been in those board meetings that have gone on, I've been in, Sandy will tell you this, 4 hours. And I'll go home and she'll say, what did you guys do tonight? And I'll say, nothing. I mean, really, and we did. There was nothing. I was at a church for 1 year and not one thing was decided that had anything to do with the goals of the church. And that's empty talking. You get those folks in and they profess Christ and they're, wow, they're a sharp guy, you know, and let's bring him in on the board. And then he'll, things like that might happen. All right. Let me slide over here to the next page because, oh my, deceiving. The deceivers of men and women to the point where they're dividing families. And Paul says here, well, I'll do this, then we'll go on there. They came in, and remember the Judaizers? Those folks that said, you know, you can be a Christian, but you still got to follow the law, and you guys got to be, you Gentile men have to be circumcised, and we have to do this. And so they did some many of those types of things. And Paul says here, he says, this is what they do. They're misleading and guiding others. In the mind, they want not to be held by the standards of God. And this has happened as you, and you've seen it in churches probably, and they would lie to people to deceive them so that they could be who they wanted to be. Somebody may have come into the church and said, you know what, Titus isn't here, we don't have a leader, I'll be your leader. Really? You love God? Yeah, I love God. He's cool. He is really cool. I like him. He's a nice guy. Well, tell me what you know about Jesus. I heard all you. I know about Jesus. What you guys know about Jesus? You know, and just not being any depth there, but want to have that position of leadership. And some people might say, hey, he's pretty good. Let's make him the leader. And we've all probably seen that in a church or a group of Christians. And when he becomes a leader, he just says, you know what? You guys have been coming to church every Sunday for so long. Let's not do that anymore. What? Nah, let's just do this. Every once in a while we'll get together and you song people over here. You can just sing at your houses if you want to. And there were changes that they wanted to make within the body of Christ that were not changes that, and we don't know specifically. I'm just making those up. We don't know specifically what they were doing, but they were coming in and doing things like that. And they were willing to lie to get whatever they wanted. And to deceive people. And Paul says that they were especially, that they are especially those of the circumcision or those that were those people that would, oh man, remember the straight line? You know, this is how we do it. There's no bend. There's no flexibility. You know, and there are times in the scripture that we do need to be that way. There is a way to heaven, which is Jesus Christ. There is a salvation which comes through his death and resurrection. And so there are some things, but there are, these people are saying, they're going back almost like the Jewish law. Remember God gave 10, they made 365 out of them, or 355, or whatever it was. You know, and he said, watch out for these people. All right, so we have that. And then I'm just going to read you a couple of verses. On the bottom of your sheet, I've got all of these. I think that Paul knew how damaging folks coming into the church could be that were coming in to harm the church. That in some of his other writings, he says this, Romans 16:17. Now I urge you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause dissension and obstacles contrary to the doctrine you have learned. Avoid them. Colossians 1:28, Paul said, we proclaim him, warning and teaching everyone with all wisdom so that you may present everyone mature in Christ. Okay, Matthew 7:15, beware of false prophets, this is who come to the sheep's clothing. Mark 13:22-23, for false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform signs and wonders and lead astray, if possible, even the elect. Be on guard. I have told you these beforehand. And there are more of those, and I put those in there so perhaps later that you can read them. So this isn't a one-time thing, not just a warning that Paul said, you know, these guys need this. The rest of you, you're okay. He said, no, this is important for everyone. So what does he say then? Where are we here? Doop. They must be silenced. They have to be stopped. The word that Paul uses there is really almost shut up. You got to do something, and you have to shut these people up. Because they're upsetting, and we're in verse 11, whole families. Not only upsetting whole families, I think probably some of you, as I have seen families divided by this. A doctrine comes in that's not true, a teaching that somebody, and unfortunately, you know how wonderful your TV is? Not anymore, probably. It used to be. Now it's only wonderful when Sandy and I can sit, sometimes we hold hands, and watch football, you know. And did Michigan win last night? They killed them, yeah. And, you know, and those things. But, you know, my father was a certain man that he watched, a pastor, that he would watch on TV. And, man, that guy, he was okay, all right. But my father, I'd call him up. Hey, Dad, you want to go to coffee? Are you kidding me? My show's on. I said, Dad, he's going to say the same thing today that he said yesterday, because this guy only had one subject. It was the timeline for the rapture and the end of the end times. And he talked about it every day. I don't know how he did that. You know, but he did it all the time. And so we have this thing now which brings things into our home that we wouldn't sit and listen to in a church service. I've had people have come to me, hey, boy, did you see old Reverend? I said, what? You watch him? Oh, just once in a while, just for fun. I said, how much fun can that be, you know? But we have let these things happen, and they are not all preaching the gospel, folks. And there are some of them that are bringing things into the home, and they are dividing the home. I remember talking to a lady, and she said, my husband will not allow me to give half of our tithe to, and she named, a ministry. And I said, well, you know, that's something that you need. She said, she asked me the question, can I give out of my own money? And I said, well, you don't have any own money. You're married. You've become one. You know, when she works, she was a hard worker at one time. Now she's still a very hard worker. But when that check came and my check came in, guess what? They went in one pot. Bills got paid, and at the end of the month, it was, you know, whatever was left. We didn't divide it up and say, oh, here's yours, Sandy, and here's mine. No, and so when this lady said, can I do it with my money? And I told her, what money do you have? And she was very upset that I didn't think she could have her own money. And I'm not being dogmatic about that. I'm just saying when two are married, they become one, you know, and that's always been the way it's been in ours. And Sandy didn't like the way, sometimes I didn't pay the bills the way I should, but we're not going to go there today. But it divided the family. It divided the family. And good things have come into the family that have been preached and done that too, I know. But we see that, and Paul is saying here, that's their goal. He's not just saying it's happening, oh, that just happened by mistake. No, it was their goal. You know, it's the goal to get into the church and disrupt and cause those things. Let me go on I got so much time. Thank you, Brian. Gave me an extra hour. I love that. Yeah. Turning the homes upside down, like they said, in some ways destroying them. These lies and tricking people into coming onto their side. Therefore, you know, the family is being destroyed spiritually, which is, you know, and that just can't happen, Paul is saying. We can't let people come in and spiritually destroy a family. Well, I'm one in Christ. I mean, you know, what can destroy our witness, destroy our testimony? One of the things that I was going to talk about earlier, and I thought, well, I'll just wait a little bit. this message has been given to teenagers. And I happened to see it portrayed in a movie not too long ago. And the sexual thing, the sexual revolution it was called in the 60s. Now we just don't even call it anything because it's, you know, there's no holes barred. Anybody can have sex with anybody at any time. And so we have these families that are spiritually being devastated and then physically being devastated because of what's being taught by, you know, I was listening to a man speak, and it was at a men's retreat, and he was talking about his daughter became pregnant as a teenager, and he said a phrase that just about that long, all it was. Everything else he said just to me was wonderful. It's from the Word of God, and he said this, well, I guess you have to expect that nowadays. Do we? Do Christians' family, those of you that have daughters, I had a daughter, that just expect that they're out there just having sex with some guy they think they like, and maybe even, puppy love. And this pastor said that. It creeped into our message in this really great retreat, and it shocked me. I didn't confront him. He was silenced because that was his last message for us. But I kept thinking about it over and over and over again. No, I have to, from the pulpit, still preach the purity and wonderfulness of marriage and the wholesomeness that God has when he brings two people together. No matter what's happened in my family, my life, somebody else's family, their life, whatever it is, the Word of God still says this. And so Paul is saying things like that are happening, and they are still happening today. Yes. So Paul tells Silas, now here's the thing. Isn't it easy? And some of you have probably done this. You've been away. Maybe as you've been visiting someone, excuse me, or you've been away on business, and you get the telephone call, and it's, oh, the water heater has just blown up. Man, I mean, it's blown up. We got stuff everywhere. And you're not there. That's kind of cool, you know. Well, I would call the plumber. That would be my first call then, if you're talking to your wife. You know, I think that Titus kind of felt like Paul was there doing that to him, sending them this letter. So you got all these guys are coming. It's not going to be fun. A lot of things. You have to tell them to shut up. Well, Paul, get over here and help me. I think that's what Titus probably thought. And because Paul doesn't give him any step one, step two, step three directions in this area, does he? As we look through this, he just says, oh, let's see, where are we? They must be silenced in verse 11, since they are upsetting the whole families by teaching for shameful gain what they ought not to teach. And so we have the families being destroyed. We've got people, you know, teaching what they shouldn't be teaching, and the lies, and they were making gain in sordid ways, and we don't know exactly what all of those were, you know. They want to sway as many as they can away from doing what God has set for them to do. Oh, I think that I want to take us way back, just kind of roll this back, roll it back. Why are we here? Oh, well, Pastor, and we did decide at the deacons meeting, I am going to come up with a list of things that perhaps we could do as a body of believers to grow, to be the church that we believe God wants us to be. Well, you know, to do that, I was examining that the other day after we had our meeting, and I was looking at this step and then this step. I'm moving, I'm going to this step, I'm going back farther, and I'm going to be back farther. Oh, what are we supposed to be doing? What's our goal? Winning others for Jesus Christ. Oh, you mean that First Baptist Church of Freeport, Illinois, all the things that have happened, all the pastors that have been here and been preaching the gospel, where we are now with this group of people and this pulpit is still here. You know what? It's still solid. It's still a solid pulpit because the Word of God is on top and the Word of God is solid. As long as the Word of God is being put out the way it should be, this will be remain a solid church, a solid pulpit. But are we where we should be in giving the gospel? Do you think maybe the folks in Crete, if that wonderful little church there that Paul had begun, had been so lackadaisical in their ministry, in their own personal testimonies, that these folks were easy to come in? Let's say a robber was going to come to your house. And at your house, it might be like Bridget's house. It's got two kitties. Oh, they're two kitty cats. You know, and they're not what we call attack kitty cats, I don't think. So the robbers come to Bridget's house and they break open the door and the kitties go, meow, meow. The good stuff's over there, meow. And they rob it. And they go out and they say, hey, guess what? There's the house in Freeport. They got two cats, man. Anything you want. Well, let's say, and I don't know, but let's just say that Nevin's got two 80-pound Doberman, or no, let's say pit bulls. And they don't like people. And the robbers go into his house, and they bust down the door, and that first dog grabs his leg, and the other dog grabs right around here, and they whip him apart and throw him outside. And those people say what? Don't go to that house. They've got two dogs that'll just eat you alive. That's what our church is supposed to be. Our church is supposed to know the Word of God so well that when people talk about First Baptist Church, you say, they'll say, wow, they, you know, those that might come in, you know, to do trickery or deceiving or whatever, not there. Those folks know the Word of God. Not there. Those folks are striving to win people for Jesus Christ based on the Word of God. Wow. What a testimony. You know, right now, as I talk to folks downtown, and I do this just, and I do this on purpose, not meaningless talk, I want to know what they know about our church. Some good, some not so good. Most of it good. All that church. You know what they talk about? Same thing that all of you mentioned first time we talked about. What a building. Man, you know what? You could make, you know, they talk about our building and it's good and what, and then they like some of you go back a few years. Oh, I remember when. Mindset change here, right, folks? I know what God will do. Why? Because His Word promises what? If we're fruitful, if we're obedient, He's going to bless us. Nevin sent me I'm sorry to pick on you this morning, Nevin, but you're sitting right there by your, I can't help it. Nevin sent me a text the other day, and we're talking about the vine. Jesus talked about the vine. I am the vine. You are the branches. Oh, isn't that cool? What a neat, neat picture. Christ, I'm grafted into Christ. Wow. But those of you that don't do what I tell you to do, I don't really need you. What's that mean? I lose my salvation? Well, of course not. That means that if I, remember what Paul said to the Corinthian church? You aren't doing what you're supposed to do, and some of you are not able to be used by God, but not only that, some of you have already passed into heaven. You're going, and Jesus has said, well, I want you to be fruitful. I want you to be doing what you're supposed to be doing. And so we have the pastor going way off track, but to be silenced, we have to silence them. I'm going to give you a couple ways, because Paul doesn't. And we see in the New Testament some examples of that. We talked a little bit yesterday about the couple that said, we sold all the land, got $5,000 for it. Here you go, church, you get the whole bag. I can hardly carry it in. Whoop. Yeah, Sapphira, she's outside. Yeah, boom, he drops dead. You know, because we see that God helped with the silencings of those that were deceiving. They came into the church and wanted to do something they weren't supposed to be doing. And so we know that there are ways. Let's just do one or two. And because when we know the Word of God, being able to identify those that are not obeying the word of God and deceiving becomes easy. You know, I wear a really weird kind of contact lens because I have an eye disease. And when I take them out, I cannot see anything. I mean, legally blind kind of seeing things. You know, but when I put them on, 20/30, not 20/20, 20/30, best I can get, but it's okay. You know, the Bible, when we have a situation and we look out at it ourselves in our natural selves, isn't that a neat program? Larry, that's a neat program. The deacons ought to jump on that. We can do that. Look at it through the Bible, the lenses of the Bible. It's not true to the scripture. It's a good social program, but it's not what we as Christians should perhaps be involved in at this time. And so we have that. And the other thing, if you're not presently at the men's or women's Bible study on the gifts of the Spirit, come. Because we're going to start, the men are a little behind the ladies, I think, or vice versa, but we're all going to get to the end one day. We don't know when that'll be, but we'll be. Discernment is a gift of the Spirit. If you can't discern, you say, I didn't know that. Don't, that's okay. You know, not everyone has the same gift. I believe, Sam and I were talking about our spiritual gifts, that part of the gifts that I have, one of them is discernment. I have that. I think God lets me through the Word of God, not through me. As I read the Word of God, He shows me certain things that may be true or not true as things are coming in. You know, I was, and again, we'll come to the Bible studies to learn more about that. Let's go on. Because even though Brian's given me all this extra time, Paul says this in verse 12. One of the Cretans, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, and lazy gluttons. His testimony is true. Well, what Paul is saying here is, you know, this was said between 200 and 400 years before Paul was there. This prophet said this. And he was speaking of his own people. He was calling them liars and men that can't be trusted. You know, and they're evil beasts. If we would, in our mind, I looked for pictures of wolves that were really ferocious. And this guy's pretty good. You know, pretty good. But I had some that I wouldn't show. They were too that ferocious. But this guy's pretty good because I think we need to understand when the Bible says, not Arch Woodstock, but the Bible says that the devil is looking for ways, creeping around as a wild beast, trying to find ways to destroy us, means it. Means it. And so this picture of a Cretan, he's a Cretan, oh, by the way, they're evil beasts. Those people that come in, we shouldn't give them, you know, the love of Christ. Yes, but a seat in our sanctuary? Yeah, maybe. But we also need to show them the door when they get to the point where they're pressing what shouldn't be to us that know what should be. And so we have, I've had that time when I've told someone, you know what, I need to speak to your people. And I've had to say, you know what, you can't. You can't. What you have to say does not, if you want to have a meeting at your house and invite some folks, that's up to you. I'm going to tell them not to come. Because what I think you're presenting is outside the Word of God. And then there's going to be those people that say to you, well, guess what, folks? You know, they might even do that folks thing like that. They may not. But guess what? He said, not everything that we have in life is that we need to know is in the Bible. Then you can laugh. It's okay to laugh at people at that point because that is the silliest thing you've ever heard. You cannot find anything. You can't define anything that's going on in your life that's not in the Bible. No. When I go to the Big Apple, which I go, now I'm going to the other place, Beltline, more because they're really cheap. Man, are they cheap. You know, and I am thinking of what the Bible says about my body. I have a veggie omelet, no toast, no potatoes, water, coffee, and egg sausage patty. No carbs whatsoever. And I know you can't tell it yet, but 25 pounds off, okay? Praise God, not me. But because I know the Bible says what? Present your body unto God, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto Him. Well, guess what? My body's not holy, totally because of Christ, but it's not acceptable as an example of what Christ would have me be as a pastor the way it is now. Not for another few 60, 70 pounds, then we will be. So we have those things, everything that's in our life. You know, we're not going to talk election ever here. I talk election outside of here. I'll give you principles of sin and non-sin, but you know what? It's in the scripture. Ta-da! Of course it is. What's good, what's acceptable. And so those things, so we need to know that no matter what we have to do, no matter what we're doing, it's in the Word of God. And these guys are coming to tell us it's not. You don't need it. If you would look at my computer, yesterday was Saturday. Thursday I didn't have a computer. Wednesday, my computer was working. I had 6 advertisements for programs for the church. I don't have time to look at all of them. I look at the titles, you know, and I see, and some of them are good, but you know what? Some of them aren't. The Bible, if the Bible's not mentioned, I just delete right off the bat. Because I know these guys are trying to get in the church any way they can. Music. Oh, is it Christian music? One, I love our piano. Keyboards are nice and they can do a lot of wonderful things, but not a piano, like a piano. There's a guy out of Chicago, and someday when COVID is all over, whenever that'll be, his name is, and don't laugh, Jim Hendrix. And he has in the literature that he sends out, don't make Jimi Hendrix jokes. I had to. You know, I'm a pastor. I had him come to Michigan to play for us. He has Guinness World Book of Record length, thumb to finger. He's fantastic. And a Christian pianist. And so when he comes to play, you know, and I never have anyone as a pastor invite folks in to do music for the church, and I hear their testimony. Because, you know, you can get those guys that come, yeah, we'd like to come sing in your church. We're gospel, Southern gospel. Oh, I love Southern gospel. Yeah. Tell me about your group. Well, old Bobby there, he used to be a mud driver. He used to mud drive racing and old swim. He used to be, he's pretty much still. He's a single guy, but he's got a lot of girlfriends, and old Lefty over here, he plays the guitar one-handed. He's only got one hand. That's why we call him Lefty, you know, and lost his in a bar fight. Oh, really? Well, we'll call you guys if we ever, you know, so we have to know those things. That sounds kind of silly, and sometimes it gets that way, but when it gets serious, when that person comes and they sit in the pew and they sing with us and then down the road they start to put those little things in, you know how that little weed grows in that crack of cement? Comes right on through. How did that weed get through that crack of cement? Because I let it. I didn't shoot it with the ortho when it was little. The pastor didn't stop and talk to that man and say, let's you and I go have coffee. I want to know what you know about Jesus Christ. Let's share Christ together. If you ever say that to somebody and they go, oh man, well, I don't know. Don't have coffee with them. Just say, nice to know him. No, and learn about them. Learn about their family. Learn about how they've grown. And never condemn anybody because you said, that person said, I've been in those churches and you have too. Oh, it's 20 after. I always want to go to quarter after. I abused my new power already. But I'm not even near done. Sandy, why didn't you do the cut thing? Okay, well, let me close with this. I'm sorry, guys. I was having so much fun, you know, that I forgot. Don't ever put somebody away, shove them off, because somebody comes to you and says, oh, do you know, 10 years ago, he was involved in. 15 years ago, she was, woo-hoo. No, that's not what we do we? Where are we today with Jesus Christ? Where are we today with the Lord? What is our daily plan? And that is to clear. They're going to do streaming today. They're still going to be here. Let's go real quickly. How did I do that? I've never done that. Yeah. Word of God. That's the answer, isn't it? Staying true to the Word of God, making sure that if, you know, I never have a problem with calling other pastors. I have two pastors that I call regularly, and if something will come up in the church in my life, and I'll call up Paul or Scott, and I'll say, hey, guys, help me. What would you do? Show me in the Word of God. Don't ever be think somebody will say, oh, you don't know the Word of God. You don't know where that is. But right now, I just need your help. Would you just be a friend of mine? Would you come alongside me and show me through the Word of God how I should live and what I should do? Stand with me. We'll have the fastest benediction we've ever had. No, I did not believe this. That's what happened. Nancy told me not to look at my watch, and I didn't. And there we go. It's been fun. I've enjoyed. This has been a good study. Isn't God good? And what he has for us, next week we will go into chapter 2. And the chapter, that sermon title is very simple. How do you live in 2020? With 2021 right around the corner. Easy. It's right there. God tells us how. Read it. Read it a couple times. Titus chapter 2. Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us here together. Lord, forgive me for my lack of attention to the clock. But Lord, we thank you that your word is proclaimed and that you love us. This is a wonderful group, Father, and I praise you for them. I praise you that you will just be with them each this week. Oh, we pray for Flora, especially that you would comfort her and her sisters and the family, those that are traveling to be here, give them safety. Lord, if there's anyone within the family that doesn't know Jesus, we pray that this would be a time of seeing who he is and what he can do. We love you, Father. Dismiss us again. Because you love us and you care for us and you guide us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Dismissed.